This is Pastor Cliff Myers, and I want you to join with me today, traveling back to 1990. In a service on April the 29th of 1990, I had the blessing of listening to a great song by Brother Tom Noach, who has gone on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ since then, and that was followed by a testimony by Danny Bradley. I never will forget when Danny pulled up in his car in my driveway and shared with me that he wanted to come forward and accept Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. We prayed that day, and then on April the 29th of 1990, he shared the testimony of his life. I trust it will be a blessing to you today.
A lot of times that we worship the Lord for who He is, but sometimes when you've served Him for a long, long time and He takes you through many hard times and He's sufficient for all the needs that you have, you worship Him because of what He's done for you too. I guess there's just enough selfishness within us to realize that we just wouldn't make it without Him. In the 31 years plus that I've served Him, as a young Christian of just 3 or 4 years, I buried my grandpa and my daddy the same week. My mother lost her mind. 3 years later, she passed away. 5 years later, I had the first of a series of 4 nervous breakdowns in 6 years. So He's seen me through a lot. Amen. And as if that weren't enough, Amen. Then after I got straightened out from all of that, my job collapsed. I was either going to be forced to leave my home of many years or else to retire. And in that retirement, to get it, I had to do without income for over half a year. But the Lord saw me through it all. Amen. Now, the world out there believes that nobody cares and nobody knows what you're really going through. And this little old gospel song is a simple one. And it just blows that theory away that nobody knows and nobody cares, because He knows just what I need. My Jesus knows. When I am lonely, He knows each pain.
He sees each tear. He understands each lonely heartache. He understands and he always cares. My Jesus knows just what I need. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. He satisfies every need, supplies. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. My Jesus knows when I am burdened. He knows how much my heart can bear. He lifts me up when I am sinking and brings me joy beyond compare. My Jesus knows just what I need. My Jesus knows just what I need. He satisfies every need, supplies. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. When other friends seem to forget me, when skies are dark, when hope is gone, by faith I feel his arms about me. And hear him say, you're not alone. My Jesus knows just what I need. My Jesus knows just what I need. He satisfies every need, supplies. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need. My Jesus knows just what I need. My Jesus knows just what I need. He satisfies every need, supplies. Oh, yes, he knows just what I need.
Every last Sunday morning of the month, we're going to have someone, a layman in our church, give about a 10 or a 15 minute testimony concerning what God has done in their life. That's preaching. Amen? That's a layman's sermon. Every last Sunday morning, we've already got this Sunday lined up this morning, and we've already got May lined up because two people have already come to me and said, Pastor, we've just got to tell what God has done in our lives, and it takes longer than a 5-second testimony on Wednesday night to do that. And it seemed like the Lord just said to me, why don't we do that every Sunday morning, the last Sunday morning of the month? Let somebody share how good God has been. And so this morning, Brother Danny is going to come, and he's going to share with you about 10 minutes or 15 minutes. And if he takes any longer than that, I won't have time to preach. That's all right. God bless you, Brother Danny. You share what God's done this morning, this in your life this morning.
Well, I want you to kind of bear with me a little bit. I'm going to talk about a few things that are really hard for me to talk about. In fact, I've never discussed it with anyone. But I believe, if you believe, you ought to act like it.
Amen.
And when God does something for you, you need to tell people about it. Well, God's done a lot for me, but before I tell you about that, I think I need to give you just a general idea of what my life was like without God. See, I went for years and years. I didn't believe in God. No, I didn't believe in Satan. And Satan really, he really liked that. And what I call, when I really started going downhill, it started out very simple. Just going out on the weekends and playing softball and getting drunk. Well, pretty soon, I'd find myself missing a day's work or two through the week playing softball and getting drunk. And soon after that, I found myself taking up gambling to kind of make up for the days that I missed work so I could play softball and get drunk some more. And see, when Satan, when he gets a hold of you like that, he's telling you, you're doing just what you want to do. You don't need to work. You're having the time of your life. But I can see now that I was in a tailspin. My life was falling apart, and I didn't even know it. So finally, I just quit working altogether and gambled. I made a living gambling. And then I could stay drunk all the time. I could commit adultery. I could cheat. I could hurt people. But for you to do this, and this kept going on, and probably Johnny even remembers this part of my life. It kept going on and getting worse and worse. And finally, I was up to the bar one night, and the weekend fights were brewing, and it was getting ready to start, and a friend of mine said, well, I'm going to go home and get my guns. So I had Pam with me. I said, well, I'm gonna take Pam home, and I'll be back. Well, for some reason, I didn't come back. I passed out on the couch. A friend of mine went home and got his guns and come back and killed a boy up to the bar. Well, I had gathered such a reputation by then, and the police knew that I was a friend of the man who shot this guy. So they came and they arrested me for complicity to murder. They figured that I must have had something to do with this. And I spent about 3 weeks in jail. But during that time, I realized that I'd built up such a reputation that I was such a nuisance to the community that the police would do anything to get rid of me. Even if it was what they called a bum rap or whatever, they wanted me out of town. So I kind of took this to heart, and I left town. I tried to kind of get my act together a little bit and got a job. So I went through a period of time. I went through about 8 or 10 jobs. I didn't like myself. I didn't like nobody else. I felt like I was a failure at life. And I kept turning more and more to alcohol and drugs or anything that would make me forget just how miserable I was. And brother, let me tell you, I was miserable. This went on, and I kept getting worse and worse until finally one day I got arrested for aggravated burglary. Well, I didn't break in nobody's house, and I didn't rob anything. But what had happened is I'd been messed up on drugs for about a week, and I ran out, and I wanted to get some more. But I was so messed up, I went to the wrong house to get the drugs. And rather than to admit my problem to my in-laws and to my family and stuff, I made a deal with the police that I would just go ahead and plead guilty to what they had me charged with, because I didn't want nobody to know the problem I had was drugs and alcohol. So I ended up going to prison over that. And during that time that I was in prison is when I first started thinking about God. And the main reason that I was thinking about God is because I seen Satan every day in his glory. I seen young boys raped. I heard the sounds of men crying in the night when the lights were out. And I knew that there was a Satan. And I knew if there was a Satan, there had to be a God. But I kind of stored that away in the back of my mind. And when I got out of the prison, I had a gut full of hate and just misery. I was off the alcohol and I was off the drugs, but I had mom and dad. Boy, ain't it great when you got mom and dad. But I figured mom and dad's gonna be there for me forever. They'll always be there. So one morning I went down to Indiana to pick up a load of stoves. When I got back and I drove up on that hill, seen all the cars and the long faces, I knew I'd lost the only thing in this life that I could count on. It was gone. I remember sitting over to the funeral hall, seeing all you good people coming in, crying and talking about how much you loved Dad. And I thought, Bradley, who's going to cry at your funeral? My answer was nobody. Nobody was going to cry at my funeral. I remember June Cowhall coming through the line, hugging me and said, I love you and I'm going to be praying for you. And I wondered why. I remember Helen Williams saying, I just love you. And I wondered why. I remember Bob and Phyllis Turner saying, well, we love you, and we're going to be praying for you. If there's anything that we can do, just let us know. And I wondered, why? And I remember Jim McClugan coming through that line, big tears running down his eyes, couldn't say a word. But he reached out, and he hugged me, and I felt something, a power that I'd never felt before in my life. Chills running up and down my spine. And I knew that Jim McClugan had something. And I knew I wanted some of what it was. And I knew that he knew how I could get it. Well, Jim and Eula May, they kept coming. They kept caring about me. They were trying to help. They'd come and pray. Jim would leave me little verses of the Bible. And I'd start read these. And pretty soon I picked up the Bible and I started reading the Bible and going to church. Of course, Satan was telling me all the reasons why I was just wasting my time, that I was beyond redemption. God would never be able to save me. But now for the good part. April 16th, 1989, I come up here to the altar crying and pleading to Jesus come into my life. And God reached down from heaven that very moment, reached inside of me and pulled all that hate, all that discontentment, all that frustration out and filled me with love. I mean, I got up from that altar, I didn't even think my feet hit the floor. I felt so light. And I thought, well, that's it, boy, that's great. And if he'd never done anything else for me, it was great, it was a miracle. You can't imagine the pain and the hurt that I was going through. But God, he wasn't done yet. I'd been taking blood pressure medicine for 3 years. The doctor said that I'd be taking it for the rest of my life. Well, I had an occasion to go without it for a while and have my blood pressure checked. And God took my high blood pressure away. It's down right now, and I haven't taken a pill in over a year, less than it was when I was age 30.
Amen.
And Pam takes it every week. to make sure. It's not in my head. This is factual. And if that wasn't enough, I was also going once a month and taking steroid shots in my back. And I had some type of arthritis and rheumatitis, and it caused me a whole lot of pain. And the shots wasn't working. The doctor said, well, you're going to have surgery. That's the only answer to get them spurs or whatever it was. But God took that away. I haven't taken a steroid shot. I haven't been back to the doctor. I haven't felt no pain since then. And I never asked for this. God just knew that I needed, and he gave it to me.
Amen.
Not too long after that, my little old truck, the motor blew up in it. And if my truck don't work, I don't work. And I didn't know what I could do. I didn't have a dime. But I prayed. I had God. The very next day, an uncle of mine from Portsmouth, who was tighter than you could ever believe, offered to give me, not lend, to give me $1,000. And that was another miracle. And then when Dad passed away, he left us, and he didn't mean to, but he left us about $40,000 in debt. I didn't have no money. I didn't have no work. I was ready to lose everything that Mom had. We was ready to lose. God found a way for us to keep everything that we had and get out from under $40,000 worth of debt. We don't owe a penny on that.
Amen.
Now.
Amen.
It's amazing what God can do. My mother was near death. God touched her, and look at her now. Doesn't she look great? God give me my mommy. God touched my little girl. She gets up on my lap now and says, Daddy, I'm proud of you. My marriage was on the brink. God put it back together. We love each other now more, and we're happier than we've ever been in our life. And God give me you good people to love, and I do love each and every one of you. But as I think, and I close this off, there were many, many more things in this past year that God done for me, but I'd be up here all day if I was going to mention them all. But I can't help but think of all these miracles that's happened, all the good things that God did for me. And by the way, my uncle that gave me that money back then, I'd been praying for him all this time, and he was almost as bad a sinner as I am. He got saved and baptized about a month ago.
Amen.
But I can't help thinking that back when Dad passed away, if you people didn't come to me and show me the love that you did, look how many lives have been affected by this. None of this would ever happen without just a little love.
Praise God. And the only thing I have to say this morning is this. It is no secret what God can do. What is done for others, he can do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. Praise God. Amen. Do you know that little chorus, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. Terry, come and sing that for us, could you? Amen. Perhaps this morning there may be someone here who just needed to hear those words of encouragement. And you'd say, Pastor, you don't know how deep in sin I am. You don't know the hurts I have in my life. You don't know the needs that I have. That song says what he's done for others, he can do for you. If he did it for Danny Bradley, he can do it for Cliff Myers. He can do it for Ernie Boone, for Tim Boone. He can do it for everybody. As we sing this morning, perhaps you just need to reach out and touch Jesus in a special way. We're going to give you that opportunity to come, to kneel, and let Christ take care of your problems this morning. He can do that. Let's stand together. If you know the song, sing along with Brother Terry. It is no secret.
It is no secret.
Praise God.
What God can do. What
Amen.
He's done for others.
He can do for you.
He'll do for you.
Aren't you glad?
With arms wide open.
Wide open. He'll pardon you.
Pardon you. Secret what God can do.
Now let's sing that again, and let's sing, it is no secret what God can do. What is done for Danny, he'll do for you. Amen. Aren't you glad for what God has done for Danny Bradley this morning? Praise God. And if you need a touch from God this morning, the altar's open, and we're just going to let you come and pray. And say, Jesus, here's my life. I need a touch just like Danny received. And God will touch you this morning. I believe that. Let's sing it again. What is done for Danny?
It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for Danny, he'll do for you. With arms wide open. Secret what God can do.
Let's bow our head and close our eyes this morning, and the Holy Spirit speaking to you. I'm not going to preach, not after a message, a testimony, a glorious testimony like that. Do you need God to do something for you this morning? You say, Pastor Myers, I sure do. He can touch you. He can change your life. He can manipulate your circumstances. God can do some miraculous things in your life if you'll but let him this morning. You'd like to slip around the altar before we close and pray. You say, I sure have something I'd like to pray about. There's something I'd like God to do for me.